Welcome back to WCHL. We are here with Bonnie Hauser and Barry Jacobs, candidates for Orange County Board of Commissioners, the at-large seat. Early voting underway right now. The primary itself is May 6th. Candidates, we've got to move on to the question of solid waste and recycling. Before we do, though, I want both of you to take just 30 seconds, and we only have a half an hour left to cover, I think, 430 topics, if I'm counting right. But before we do, I want to each of you to take 30 seconds and just answer this really quick question. Over the course of the last few years with budget cuts and pressures and everything else, it's become sort of a commonplace to say there's no longer any low-hanging fruit. But what is the lowest hanging fruit on the budget right now in terms of cutting or eliminating line items? Take 30 seconds and answer that question. We'll start with Bonnie.
It's not a cut or eliminate, but to me the immediate opportunity is in solid waste to do more rational projects than the one we've planned.
Barry Jacobs?
Well, since solid waste is not part of our general fund, that's not where I would look for cuts if we're talking about cutting taxes. We've been keeping positions frozen. I would continue to do that, and I would ask that the departments come back with other programs that we have either talked about suspending or partially suspended and see if we can do without them.
All right.
And I just need $2 million goes from the general fund every year to the solid waste department on top of all the fees. So there is a important subsidy that should be eliminated, and that money can go right to schools. That would get us a third of the way there to fund the immediate needs of the schools.
Well, let's turn to the question of solid waste and recycling right now, and we'll start with Barry Jacobs. What does Orange County need to do to manage solid waste in a way that's efficient and cost-effective, meeting the needs of Orange County residents, both urban and rural, without perpetuating what some have called the cycle of environmental racism that is so at odds with our values as a community? Is it even possible to do all those things at once?
Of course. And I think we're moving toward that. The first thing we need to do, and it's the reason why we, after listening to the public, people think we don't listen to the public when we have public hearings, but we actually do. That's why they're called public hearings. And after listening to the public talk about curbside or roadside recycling, we decided that we didn't have good options before us. And in fact, because we had been operating without any partners, it was inappropriate for us to continue down that path until we went back to an interlocal agreement, which has been proposed for 5 years between the municipalities and the county on solid waste issues. Once that's done, then I think we can start talking about efficiencies. We can talk about economies of scale. We can talk about what our priorities are, short-term and long-term. And as far as environmental justice goes, Orange County has stepped forward as much as anybody else. We just agreed to build a community center on Rogers Road. We agreed to a study to put together a water and sewer plan for Rogers Road with the town of Chapel Hill. And despite what my opponent keeps saying, it was the county commissioners that closed the landfill, not anyone else.
Bonnie Hauser.
So let's see. I can go a lot of places on that. First of all, several years ago, Orange County staff was proposing keeping the landfill open for 5 years, and this was right after the debacle with the waste transfer station, where we were looking at pitting communities against each other to try and cite it, which we stopped that too. And thank goodness we saved taxpayers a fortune of money by doing that. And so when it came to the landfill, what we did, and thanks to then Commissioner Fushi, now Senator Fushi, we led an effort to bring commissioners one by one, excluding my opponent, because he was not interested, but we brought commissioners one by one out to the landfill. WCHL came out to the landfill. All the media channels came out to the landfill to see the illegal dump sites, to smell the stench, to see the things that were not being disclosed in the meeting room. And as a result, there was tremendous public pressure to close the landfill at any cost. At the same time, we spent a year and a half working with the Rogers Road community to develop the mitigation plan and spent a lot of time meeting with commissioners to discuss those options, which included the community center, water service, and sewer infrastructure, which still years later has not been funded. which is sad to say, because this to me is a moral issue. It's not an economic issue. For the planning for solid waste and recycling, we are putting a contract in place for services that we've always done. There have been no improvements, even though we decided 2 years ago to close the landfill. And there's been no improvement to reduce our waste further now that we are hauling it to Durham. To me, simple things like kitchen composting for our town services in suburban areas would be fine. It would be a simple thing. But instead, we spent the last year talking about rural curbside recycling, a service that less than half the people in the county use, and the county commissioners have known that for a long time. But even though they were told that by many people, they decided to hold public hearings and spend a lot of money and time to discuss it. So now everybody knows it's broken. So now the question is, what do we do going forward? I would like to see the commissioners and the town spend a year to design services for the short term for recycling, composting, and other waste reduction opportunities. In the long term, we have got to figure out what we're going to do with our waste, not just household trash, but the hospital waste, sewage sludge, and all the waste streams that we're producing that are not handled by a traditional solid waste department.
Barry Jacobs, follow up on that?
Sure. Well, first thing is I've been involved in the issues around the landfill since before I was a commissioner. So it's decidedly not so that I was not interested. I may not have been interested in being manipulated by my opponent, but I was certainly interested in the issues. Now, speaking of which, you can't say that we had 4 or 5 years left of landfill capacity as though that's a criticism and then say it's a moral issue to provide water and sewer. Presumably, it's also a moral issue to close the landfill. And so we tried other ways to meet the needs of the community. We tried to find funding sources to provide water and sewer. We tried to find other solutions to burial. And we tried to find other solutions to shipping it to Durham, all of which have not borne fruit yet. But we have been working on reducing waste. In fact, just in the last few months, we met with a company called Waste Zero, which specializes in pay-as-you-throw, and we directed our staff as of July 1 to start working with them to come back with a proposal. We've met with one and meeting with a second firm that specializes in anaerobic digestion of food wastes. We're already collecting food waste at those horrible convenience centers that my opponent criticizes that the public seems to love. And we're hoping to collect even more food waste when we open a second convenience center on Eubanks Road. Those have been some of the most successful efforts. And those were made actually in partnership with representatives of the towns as well as with citizens so that we had a plan going forward to address some of the issues regarding waste reduction and waste collection.
Bonnie,
I just need to comment on
that. Yeah, I want to ask, as you're commenting, if you could also respond to Barry mentioned pay-as-you-throw as a possibility. I was wondering what your take on that was.
I'd be happy to talk to that. But I just wanted the listeners from RENA and Justice United to pay close attention because Mr. Jacobs just said that we were manipulating the community to advocate to get the landfill closed and to get mitigation for Rogers Road. So I just wanted to make sure that all our Justice United fans that worked very hard to get that done and all the people from the media that worked very hard to get that done, it was just characterized as a manipulation. I will apologize for Mr. Jacobs on your behalf.
You don't need to apologize for me. I was only addressing you.
Okay.
Pay-as-you-throw?
I was part of it. I think pay-as-you-throw, if you look at Catawba County, who is the best recycling, the best recycler in North Carolina, they use pay-as-you-throw. And they use pay-as-you-throw without any other fees. So if we had no fees, if we weren't already paying the highest fees in North Carolina for trash and recycling services, then I would be very interested in pay-as-you-throw, but not on top of the existing fee structure. The other thing I would comment on then this discussion with Waste Zero and these other companies is exactly the problem. That's why business as usual is not working, because Orange County is working by itself rather than with its towns and with its communities to figure out services that we need, because our towns have resources and assets that are not not available to the county. They have to serve their citizens. They have to provide the curbside services. Orange County needs to work with the communities and with our towns, not by itself.
Which is what I said. As soon as we had an interlocal agreement, we were going to be working with the municipalities to provide common solutions. And I didn't say that we would or wouldn't have pay-as-you-throw. What I said is we should look at it. I didn't reject it out of hand, as my opponent just did.
Let's talk.
Did I reject pay-as-you-throw?
You said it's too. We already are too expensive. So
I said I would do it without. It would be better if. I'm not going to say.
Let's talk about economic development.
I just need to correct that because
yes.
I did not say that. I said that we will that pay-as-you-throw would be fine as long as it is not on top of our existing fee structure.
Let's talk about economic development. Orange County has done well recently, especially with the arrival of Morinaga. There are still a lot of lingering questions and issues from the future of the Eno District to the development process as a whole. I think, Bonnie, you're first on this one. What is Orange County not doing right now that it ought to be doing with regard to economic development?
There's a couple of things. First of all, I just want to say that economic development is not the silver bullet that's going to fix all our financial problems. So we have a problem with the commercial tax base, and then we have a problem with our cost structure. But we'll stay with economic development, which is the top line growth. I need to start by saying that Orange County, that jobs are really important to Orange County, but Orange County makes money from property taxes and sales taxes, not income taxes. So if we create jobs for not-for-profits, like the Agricultural Processing Center, that's great to help businesses get going. It's wonderful, but it's not going to produce economic revenues for Orange County if we can't find a way to keep businesses in our county, and so we have to prove that we can do that, and we haven't. We are, to me, the number one opportunity for economic development is in Eflin and in our county's economic development districts. Our manager led us down the path of investing in water and sewer infrastructure for our economic development districts. I did support the quarter cent sales tax for that when it was on the ballot. I supported that sales tax and I advocated for it in the community. But the thing is, it's very hard to attract companies to our economic development districts when we have an 800-page zoning ordinance. So we have to simplify that ordinance, not relax the rules, but simplify the ordinances to make it easy for companies to do business with Orange County and to be attracted there. And sometimes they look at the rules, they look at the rules and they go, I'll go to Alamance County where I can go build something for a third of the price. So I think that's the greatest opportunity. We do have to work with the towns, and I assume are we going to talk about Ephesus Fordham?
If we get there, yes.
Okay, fine. So we'll that's another part of it.
Barry.
I think that we can do a much better job of coordinating our economic development efforts with the towns. We have coordinated with Hillsborough and Mebane, and we're trying to with Durham as far as providing water and sewer to the economic development districts. But beyond that, we each have our own strategies. We have our own staffs. I think it's an area that's ripe for collaboration. And as we start moving forward with some of the issues like solid waste, I would hope that we could add economic development to that mix. I would also say that if we had one job to add to county government this year, it would be somebody in the economic development office who was focused simply on business retention. I think that position would almost immediately pay for itself because we don't spend enough time trying to keep businesses that are in Orange County either happy or even understand what it is their needs are. And that's not through the fault of our staff because we have a very small staff. As I said previously, we've pared down a lot. But I think we need to do a much better job on retention. As far as the food processing center, it's, again, not true that we're not producing businesses. Some of those businesses are growing in Orange County, and they're creating jobs. And we're even talking about putting some of the storage at the Cedar Grove Community Center in one of the wings, which would create even more jobs because people are going to keep their products in Orange County. And finally, I don't know if it's just a mistake or purposeful misrepresentation. I'll be more charitable the rest of the hour and say this 800-page zoning ordinance is not the case. We have a unified development ordinance. It's not a zoning ordinance. Just sometimes she calls it a land use plan. What it is a compilation of every single detail, how the planning board works, how the Board of Commissioners are involved in the process, how the Board of Adjustment works. It's all in one place. The development community loves unified development ordinances. Now, are there too many rules? Maybe so. But to keep calling it an 800-page barrier to economic development is just not correct.
Bonnie, follow up?
Well, we just have a difference of opinion on that. I just wanted to clarify, because Mr. Jacobs seems to continue to want to explain what I said. My point was on jobs, that we have – PFAP is a great project. I love PFAP. I think it's doing a lot of great things. It's helping businesses get started, but there's not one business that I know of from PFAP that has settled in Orange County and is paying property taxes in Orange County.
Barry, follow up?
They're paying sales taxes, and part of the whole purpose of PFAP, it's an incubator. It's small businesses that can't afford to build a building.
Okay.
Two of the businesses are looking for places to move, but we don't have available small flex space in Orange County. But they're paying sales taxes.
We've only got about 10 minutes left. We've got a bunch of issues left on the table.
That's a misrepresentation.
Okay, let me ask before we move on, Bonnie, since you raised the question, Chapel Hill officials are asking Orange County to contribute financially to the town's Ephesus Fordham plan. Should Orange County contribute, and to what extent? Barry?
Well, we have that issue on a work session next month.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ask for a presentation from our staff, the pros and cons from an Orange County perspective. Personally, yes, I think we should contribute. If nothing else, I think we should contribute to the stormwater management infrastructure. That's a public health and safety issue. As for the rest of the development, I would like to hear the details. I would like to see how it impacts the monies we have available for infrastructure throughout the county. But Chapel Hill's in the county. It's not our call how they develop it. I would like to hear from the public before I make any decision, as I usually do, or almost always do. But I think that on balance, if the Chapel Hill Town Council and the people of Chapel Hill would like it and see it's an important aspect of its economic development, we should certainly give it every consideration.
Bonnie?
I think this is a defining moment for Orange County, and I don't see Ephesus Fordham as an isolated incident. All our towns are urbanizing, and they will need money for infrastructure and services to meet the needs of their new developments. I don't believe it's a good idea to confuse the county with town projects, and the towns need to own their projects and do it as they will. So to me, one area where the towns and the county and our schools can work together is to plan how to best deliver and fund the services and the schools that will be needed for these developments. I can envision a policy where the towns and the schools keep more of the new tax revenues from these projects rather than have more endless public hearings and discussions with a whole new board involved in this rather than allow the towns to move forward confidently and feel like they can control the income that they're generating and use it for the projects that they need.
We've only got a few minutes left. I want to move on to a question with a lot of different facets, and Barry, you'll go first on this one. Among Orange County's most prominent values are economic sustainability and a commitment to social justice, both of which suggest the need for a conscious effort to keep our community affordable and accessible to all. Barry, you've talked about helping those least able to help themselves. Bonnie, you've talked about affordable communities. There's a lot that we can talk about here. Let me just ask the general question and take a minute or two to respond. What does Orange County need to be doing? What's priority number one to ensure that all of its residents have access to a quality standard of living?
Well, what's number one? Number one is to understand what the problems are and to rely on our partners. And when I say partners, we have partners in the nonprofit sphere and we have partners in the municipalities. Everybody has an affordable housing plan, for instance. All the municipalities in the county are working on the partnership to end homelessness. But we don't have a coordinated plan. This is another one of those cases where we have an opportunity to pull together. And so the flip side of that is when we talk about how we have to do more for this particular area of our budget or that particular area, is we need to balance always the people who are going to be left behind unless we're careful about what we spend, which is why we try and maintain fiscal discipline and why we look carefully before we make decisions about what we're going to raise taxes or where we're going to shift monies.
Bonnie.
Well, as you know, I really believe that affordable communities is where we need to be. Have done a lot of work on it already through my work with Orange County Justice United, and that includes housing, transportation, and services. The people that I work with and that I spend time with all want the same things. They want good jobs, a decent place to live, and quality education. They don't want a separate infrastructure that marginalizes communities based on race or income or disability. I'd like to see us all, my vision is to have us all in the same neighborhoods using the same clinics and the same workplace. To me, regional transportation is a priority. And that's because people need a way, they need to be able to get to their jobs and that could be at UNC, but it also could be in RTP, it could be in Chatham, it could be in Durham. And we need to provide transportation to our growth areas within the county and in the region. That's real money to get to school, to go to school and to other places and avoid having a second car.
We've only got a few minutes left. I've got a couple of questions that I'd like to ask. Just take about 30 seconds to a minute each to answer these. Bonnie, first on this one. We often talk about the divisions between Chapel Hill-Carborough residents and the residents of rural Orange County. If elected, how would you try to bridge that divide if it exists?
Well, the divide definitely exists, and I actually spent a lot of time teaching people about the rural county. I think we've got to start talking together. And instead of isolating issues with solutions that fit one or the other, we need to start discussing solutions like solid waste, a great example where we would have solutions that fit urban, suburban, and rural settings, and that's how we work. So we need to start, so our leaders need to start talking about solutions across all those divides.
Barry.
I've lived in rural Orange County for the majority of my adult life, so I think I understand rural Orange County. I think that there are people who have real antipathy to Chapel Hill and Carborough, but I think they're a minority. I think people exaggerate the divide between the urban and the rural. I've worked my entire time in office to try and bridge those gaps, partially by working on local agricultural economy, which unites the urban buyers with the rural producers better than almost anything that we've been able to do. I think we need to keep talking about what we have in common instead of what divides us. Just like instead of talking about why we can't do things, we need to talk about how we can do things.
We've only got a few minutes left. I want to thank you both for joining us today. We've gotten through about half of the questions that are on my list, so this final question is particularly relevant. Barry, I want to start with you. What issues have we not discussed today that you think need to be emphasized? Just take a few seconds to answer.
I would take three. One is poverty. We've been talking about poverty in Orange County. We have some reports coming from the Social Services Board and the Board of Health to begin addressing things in a more creative way beyond the existing programs to address the needs of those who can't afford a lot of the things that we take for granted. Number two, I think we need to be concerned and proactive about dealing with the Tea Party in Raleigh and how it's going to adversely impact our education system, our environment, and our social safety net. And finally, we didn't mention at all the environment. I think the environment and environmental protection is a key value in Orange County. I think we've spent a lot of time over the years, whether it's creating the joint planning agreement or building a lands legacy program that shows how committed we are. We were the first county to protect watersheds. That should be at the forefront of what we talk about while we talk about these other major issues.
And finally, Bonnie Hauser.
I'm going to pick one, and that's collaboration, because I think that's a really misused and understood term. I'll give you, for example, there has never been an assembly of governments even on transportation in Orange County. And we talk about it, but, you know, from my experience, collaboration is not politicians talking to each other, but it's real working sessions, joint problem solving, using data with communities, professionals in the field, experts from the outside, and some political leaders, hopefully to listen as much as anything else. And a great example was when we worked on emergency services. At the time, the county was asking for $20 million for new services. That was a time, if you remember, our ambulance response times were horrible, and our emergency responders were in buildings with radio outages. So the professionals came to me because the county was unresponsive, and I arranged for several commissioners to meet individually with our fire chiefs, and they talked about the real problems. And Commissioner Fushi and McKee created the emergency services work group, which spent a year and a half solving the problem, and it was professionals in the room, not politicians. And instead of spending the $20 million, they put ambulances in fire stations, and they fixed radio protocols that saved millions of dollars of taxpayers' money. That's how better planning creates better services and saves us a lot of money.
I want to thank both of our candidates, Bonnie Hauser and Barry Jacobs, for joining us today. Early voting is underway now. The primary itself is on Tuesday, May 6th. Bonnie Hauser, Barry Jacobs, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And that concludes our candidate forum for the at-large seat on the Orange County Board of Commissioners. My thanks again to Bonnie Hauser and Barry Jacobs. They again are swearing off the Democratic primary. Primary day is May 6th. No Republican in the race, so the winner of the primary will be unopposed in the general election. Early voting is underway now. Again, primary day is Tuesday, May 6th. And you can find the full audio from this forum again on our website, chapelboro.com. Thank you so much for joining us this hour on our 2014 WCHL Board of County Commissioners Candidate Forum.